on 30, slide 31, suppose I've got a partnership, and I've got associates. They're currently employees. They don't get a 199 Cap A deduction because, remember, performing service employee, you know, a qualified trader business. You say, well, hey, I'll help them out. I'll make them partners. Well, there's a rule that says if in a year somebody that had an employee status ends up being a partner, I guess an independent contractor would count too, then there's a presumption that for 3 years after that change, he will still be treated as an employee for purposes of 199 Cap A. Now, the final regs say if you've got contracts and records that indicate, in fact, he was indeed a partner, then you don't have to worry about it. It's kind of silly if you think about your law firm, because the game plan is your associates do become partners, and this literally means that after 3 years you make them a partner, you got to worry about this silly rule. But I think in the mainstream, as long as you're not trying to game the system, you don't have anything to worry about.
And I think what they're really going after there are the independent contractors that you're trying to change their status. But in any event, it is something to watch for.
Okay. This sunsets in 2026. So as I like to say, it's a long run for a short slide. Unless Congress decides to extend it, 199A goes away in 2026. Very quickly, the aggregation rules on slide 34. There are instances, remember, where the caps apply. I may have one trader business that generates a lot of qualifying business income but doesn't have any unadjusted basis or doesn't have any W-2 wages. Well, if that's treated separately, there's no deduction there because you're cap limited. But if I have other qualified trades or businesses that do have unadjusted basis or W-2 wages, there are instances in which I can aggregate those businesses and so that I can treat them as one trader business and use the unadjusted basis and W-2 wages of one to apply to the cap, which is generally a good rule. Normally, to aggregate, you have to have 50% common ownership between the qualified trade or business and meet certain other conditions that we simply don't have time to talk about. Don't assume on slide 35 that aggregation is always good. You just simply have to run the numbers. Generally, it's a good thing, but not always. The final regulations, the proposed regulation said with respect to aggregations that with respect to pass-throughs, they didn't aggregate. You had to aggregate at the actual two-legged taxpayer level. What the final regulations do is say, well, that's not, we'll let the partnerships or S corporations aggregate. If they aggregate, then their owners are bound by those aggregation elections. If not, if they don't aggregate, then the individual owners could choose to aggregate. Pass-throughs are obligated, obviously, to pass through the information that the individual owners will need to be able to compute the 199A deduction, right? You got to have the qualified business income. You got to know the W-2 wages. You got to know the unadjusted basis. Partnership pass-throughs got to put that information on a K-1 that goes out to the owner. The final regulations did make it clear. I mean, there may be instances where one of the qualified trades or business doesn't have any W-2 or minimal amounts that really won't impact anything. The way the proposed regulations worded, if you left that off the K-1, then everything was out. The QBI was out. The unadjusted basis was out. The final regulations say no. The thing that's out is what you left off the return. So if I underreport my W-2, then the W-2s are out, but it doesn't impact the QBI or unadjusted basis. Okay, let's go to my least favorite topic, choice of entity. That ends 199 Cap A. And I've got how long to do this?
Plenty of time, don't worry.
Okay, so The 2017 Act reduced the corporate rate to 21%. Now, for those folks that were already corporation, they spiked the punch bowl. Bring out the party hats. My rate dropped from 35% to 21%. That's good. But if I'm not in corporate form and the decision is made, do I want to move my trader business to a corporation? Dropping the rate to 21% has presented some interesting questions, although I don't think it ultimately changes answer in most all situations. we'll explain a bit in a more a little later. So Patrick is the one that rent the spoiler. No. he always spoils things. I don't know.
I said this is like a gallon of milk. It spoils quickly. Yeah, so there you go.
Well, there is one thing that's going on here, and we're going to talk about it as we work through this. And that is a lot of the factors that you have to know to figure out whether you want to incorporate or not, whether it makes sense from a tax perspective, involve certain items that are going to change, like bonus depreciation that sunsets in 2026, like 199 Cap A that sunsets in 2026. And who knows what Congress is going to do with the 21% corporate rate. It doesn't sunset, but if they lose the White House, they take control of the Senate, Lord help us, the rate could go back up. So, you know, you get your crystal ball out when you're talking to your client to try to figure out.
Is that aliens?
Hey, I'm don't. We're not going there. Jeez, we're going to get us fired.